today is The God of the Impossible. The movie that we saw a clip of is a great example of the power of prayer. Had the chance to preview it, and it's an amazing story of a boy who fell through the ice, who was comatose, and the doctors had pretty much given up on him. But a mother and her prayers as she prayed over his bed, and the community prayed, somehow life was breathed back into this young boy. It's based on a true story, and God did the impossible. So the title of the message this morning is The God of the Impossible. You see, you're probably here today, and you may have one or two, maybe three areas in your life where it's not what you would want it to be, and you'll wonder if it can ever change. As a matter of fact, you might consider it or classify it an impossibility. Something that you cannot figure out, you cannot change, you cannot get past. But there's a God in heaven who invites us to come to him that says he can do for us that which we cannot do for ourselves. I've got six slides I want to show you. They're quotes on impossibility. Here's the first one. Billy Sunday, a former evangelist, said, "We have a God who delights in impossibilities." You know what he's looking for? He's looking for people of faith to do the impossible in you and through you. Here's the second one. "It always seems impossible until it's done." In 1932, they began to build the Golden Gate Bridge. It opened in 1937, some 5 years later. It's 1.7 miles long. There were people that said it couldn't be done. Today we look at the Golden Gate Bridge and, hey, it's possible. We've seen it done. Here's another one. "Today's accomplishments were yesterday's impossibilities." You realize you're sitting in a building that years back it was an impossibility. It's an accomplishment that we're here. And there were people of faith, and God honored the faith, and we're here because of that faith. And God did for a group of people who believed him something that they could not do for themselves. Here's another one. "Most of the things worth doing in the world have been declared impossible before they were done." The Panama Canal is 50 miles long. It bridges the Atlantic to the Pacific, and it's about $350 million. But when it was first started, some people didn't think it could be done. You see, whenever somehow, some way, when a person or a group of people believe for something that perhaps has never been done, God blesses it, and the impossible becomes possible. Here's another one. Robert Schuller, "Impossibilities vanish when a man or a woman and his or her God confront a mountain." Got a mountain in your life? Impossibilities can become possibilities when faith is connected to the source that can change things. And finally, here's the last one. "Impossibilities are merely things that we have not yet learned." In other words, just because it hasn't happened in your life to date, it's possible it still can happen. We just have to learn and to trust God with it. So this morning we're looking at a text from John chapter 6. It's the story that Meredith talked about, 5 loaves and 2 fish. And let me set the stage for you. The disciples and Jesus are on the side of a mountain by the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus, his reputation has spread, and people are drawn to him because of the miracles that have happened through his life. And so down at the bottom of the mountain, there are some 5,000 men. It's called the Feeding of the 5,000, but that's just the men. With women and children, it could have been 10 to 15,000. And so this large group of people are gathering, and they want to see Jesus and see him do more miracles. It's getting late in the day. People are hungry, and they need to eat. The disciples said, "Let's just send the people away." And Jesus said, "No, let's feed them." And so he asked Philip, he says, where shall we buy bread for these people to eat? You see, and Philip responded and said, Lord, it would take 8 months' worth of salary. 8 months to feed all these people. Just can't do it. But Jesus had a different plan. And we found there was a boy that had 5 loaves and 2 fish. It was just a small, simple, insignificant lunch. And the boy gave it up. And somehow it got into the hands of Jesus. And Jesus began to bless it and break it, and it was multiplied, and he fed all of these people. And as a matter of fact, there were 12 baskets full left. There was more left than what they started with. That's how God is. But it was the impossible becoming possible. And so what I want to do today, just before we share in communion, is talk about 4 stages everybody goes through for God to do the impossible through your life. 4 stages. Turn with me to your notes. Let's get started. Number 1. The first thing that happened is a need arises. A need arises. We will call this stage 1, a need stage. Read with me in your notes, verse 5. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, where shall we buy bread for these people to eat? A need just popped up. It surfaced. All these people needed to be fed. You see, needs just show up in your life. It could be in a marriage. Stuff just shows up. It may be in relation to one of your children. Something just shows up. And so needs just arise. They pop up unexpectedly all over the place. It could be a physical need. It could be emotional. Things just kind of happen. But listen, impossibilities always begin with a need. That's stage 1. John 16:33, Jesus said these words, I told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. The word trouble, the Greek word is thlipsis, and it means there's no way out. There's pressure on all 4 sides. There's a sense of confinement, and you don't think you can ever get out of it. That's what the trouble is defined as. But here's what Jesus said. I have overcome that. You know why he can say that? Because he can take what is impossible to us and make it possible because of who he is. Stage 1, the need stage, a need arises. Stage 2 is what we'll call the test stage. And the fill in the blank is this, how I respond to the need is a test. You see, you and I have a response or a reaction to every need that surfaces in our life. Here's a quote. It's not what happens to you, but how you react to it that matters. And we find in the text that Jesus is pushing on Philip's life, and he says, okay, Philip, where shall we buy bread for all these people? The next phrase, verse 6, is this. He, Jesus, asked this only to test him. Philip is being pressed and expanded and somehow challenged of how big is his faith. Now, in your notes, I put 1 to 10, a little continuum. 1 is no faith, or very little. Then there's some faith, and then there's lots of faith. You see, every need that pops up in your life, do you have little faith, medium faith, or a lot of faith? In this case, Philip didn't know what to do. He had very little faith. And so it's a test. You have something in your life today that you're struggling with? Can I tell you? It's a test. You know what the test is? It's a test of your faith. And so we find here that Jesus wants to grow our faith when a need surfaces in our life. He wants us to move from no faith to some faith to a lots of faith. Read with me 1 John 5, 4 and 5 in your notes. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Faith is the key that turns the lock to somehow release the resources of heaven. And so John says faith is what helps us overcome the philipsis, places in life where we don't see a way out. There's a quote in your notes by Mike Fogerson. He says this, miracles happen in the atmosphere where there is a need for something to happen off the grid of the natural. You see, in the natural, that's our human and the flesh and blood limitations. In the natural, a lot of stuff we just can't see it as being possible. And so God there'll be a need in our life that you and I have to have faith about that is off the grid. There's a TV program today called Off the Grid, and they go to these places that are on islands and these remote areas to buy a house or someplace just to get away, and they call it off the grid. It's way out there. Oftentimes, needs can be so overwhelming, they're off the grid of what is normal. And that is a setup for God to do something that man cannot. But understand, when a need arises, you and I are then tested. Do we respond with little faith, some faith, or lots of faith? Stage number three. We'll call this the faith stage. And it's when you and I believe that Jesus already has a plan to meet the need. Notice on the back of John 6:6 on your sermon listening guide, it says this, for he, Jesus, already had in mind what he was going to do. This is an amazing statement. So the need presented itself of how to feed all these people. Philip was being tested. Jesus said, how are we going to do it? The next phrase is amazing. Jesus said, the scriptures say, he, Jesus, already had in mind what he was going to do. Do you realize that he already has the plan of what to do about your impossibility? I mean, right here it says, he already knew what he was going to do about it. You have an issue, a struggle, something in your life. He already knows what he wants to do. He's got the plan. He's got the purpose. He's got the roadmap. He's got the drawings. He's the one that knows how to make it happen. So read with me these next two paragraphs in your notes. Philip answered him, 8 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will it go among so many? Jesus said, have the people sit down. There was plenty of grass in that place, and the men sat down, about 5,000 of them. So Jesus knew what he was going to do about the need. He knows what he wants to do about your need. And in this case, there was a boy, had a lunch, 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And one of the disciples brought it to Jesus and said, this is what we got. This is it. And so Jesus had him sit down on the grass, and he organized them. He had a plan, and he knew what was about to happen. And in Philippians 4:19, Paul says, my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Do you realize God has a bank vault? A vault full of resources and riches and grace. And he goes to the vault, and he can provide each of us was something that we cannot get ourselves, but he's just got these riches for us. And in this case, Jesus had resources that the disciples did not understand. But the stage 3 is this, a faith stage. God wants to grow your faith. If you're in the middle of a need, big need issue in your life, that's an impossibility, and maybe you got just a little bit of faith, God wants to kind of turn the meter up. He wants to spin the dial. He wants your faith to grow so that you grow to some faith, but then he wants to have a lot of faith. And so it's a faith stage. We're tested, and we need to grow our faith during this time. Well, starts with a need. It's a test stage. Then it's a faith stage, number four. I'll call it the surrender stage. Surrender what you have to the hands of Jesus. Read with me the next two paragraphs in your notes. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. Back in 2012, I received something from Jenny D. in Florida, and it's about hands, and I want to read it to you. A basketball in my hands is worth about $19. A basketball in Michael Jordan's hands is worth about $33 million. It depends whose hands it's in. A baseball in my hand is worth about $6. A baseball in Roger Clemens' hands is worth about $475 million. It all depends whose hands it's in. A tennis racket in my hand is useless. A tennis racket in Andrew Agassi's hands is worth millions. It depends whose hands it's in. A rod in my hand will keep away an angry dog. A rod in Moses' hands can part a mighty sea. It all depends whose hands it's in. A slingshot in my hand is like a kid's toy. A slingshot in David's hand was a mighty weapon. It depends whose hands it's in. 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. In my hands is a couple of fish sandwiches. 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread in Jesus' hands can feed thousands. It depends whose hands it's in. Nails in my hands might produce a birdhouse. Nails in Jesus Christ's hands provided salvation to the entire world. It all depends whose hands it's in. As you see now, it depends whose hands it's in. So put your concerns, your worries, your fears, your hopes, your dreams, your families, your relationships in God's hands, because it all depends whose hands it's in. When the boy had 5 loaves and 2 fish, I want you to notice something. Jesus took the loaves. It went out of the boy's hands, maybe to the apostles' hands, but it ended up in Jesus' hands. He blessed it, he broke it, and he multiplied it. You see, it all depends whose hands it's in. And if whatever your 5 loaves and 2 fish is, whatever your need is, whatever your struggle is, it all depends whose hands it's in. Because when it gets into the hands of Jesus, he has the power and the ability to multiply it and to bless it. The little boy had to surrender his lunch. You and I have to surrender our lives, our 5 loaves and 2 fish, which often feels insignificant. But when we surrender it, we put it in his hands, the God of the impossible stands on the stage of our life and can do for us that which we cannot do for ourselves. Starts with a need. We're tested. We got to have faith, and we surrender to the hands of Jesus. One last slide I'll have Alyssa put up. impossible, when you cut off the I am, it can become possible. I'm going to close with the story, and then Jack's going to come and lead us in our communion ritual. In 1972, NASA launched the exploratory space probe Pioneer 10. It was originally built to go about 3 years into outer space. It was to go past Jupiter and take pictures and measure different things and beam them back to Earth. Nothing had been beyond Mars, and little Pioneer 10 kept going, and it went into Jupiter's gravity pull. It then went into Saturn. It then went to Uranus and to Neptune. And we find that 25 years after its launch, Pioneer 10 was more than 6 billion miles from the sun. It just kept going. Now, here's what's remarkable. The signals that emanate from the ship itself, Pioneer 10, is based on an 8-watt transmitter, which radiates about as much power as a bedroom nightlight. It takes more than 9 hours to reach Earth. It was built for a useful life of 3 years, and this thing went on and on and on, and it was an 8-watt transmitter the size of a nightlight in a bedroom that beamed back the signals. When you and I give God our 5 loaves and 2 fish, we can become an 8-watt transmitter. He can do something. He can make us run longer. We can accomplish more. We can achieve more. We can overcome more, because it all depends whose hands it's in. So as we think about this first Sunday in 2020, your life and the year ahead, when we bring our lunch, our 5 loaves and 2 fish, our strengths, our weaknesses, who we are, our total abilities, our whatever it is, we bring it to Him. We place ourselves in the hand of Jesus. Can I tell you what He'll do? He's the God of the impossible. And He can make you an 8-watt transmitter. And you keep going, and you keep going, and you keep going, and you do more than you ever dreamed, because it all depends whose hands you're in. Let's bow for prayer. Father, this first Sunday of 2020, we bow before You and we present our 5 loaves and 2 fish, our insignificant selves, and we surrender and we consecrate and we yield ourselves to You. And we pray that this year, with the blessing of Your presence on our lives, with us surrendering to You and placing our lives in Your hands, we will become an 8-watt transmitter that will somehow achieve more, go further, overcome more, and bring You honor and glory. Hear our lives. Take them. In Jesus' name, amen.